Okay. So, to follow with what Diane was saying, think of some issue you're having, something you'd like to see changed, something that you're calling a problem. And now find a thought that has it completely solved. I have all the money, I have all the health, I have some thought that not going to, but is solved. And think that thought. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to feel it. Just take on that thought as a thought and see it. And do that for a moment. And now, as you continue to hold that thought, notice where your attention goes. Do you get uncomfortable sensations? Do you have the thought, no, that's not true, I can't have that? All of that is part of holding a thought. Include it. Don't push it away. But every time you notice you've left the thought, simply come back to the thought. So we'll take a few moments for you to hold the thought in silence and just notice where it goes, what goes on, and gently come back to the thought as a thought. Don't fight with the sensations. Don't fight with the other thoughts. Just keep coming back and notice and welcome everything that happens. And we'll go into the silence for a few moments. Okay, keep holding that thought as we come back slowly. And just hold that thought throughout the whole service, throughout the day, throughout the rest of your life, if it's a thought you want to hold. And allow all the stuff that happens that goes with that thought to just be there. Come on back. So this is a song I wrote with Amanda McBroom, who wrote The Rose. And it has a message I wanted to talk about today. So many chances, so many questions, so many roads to take. Many choices laid on the table, don't know which ones to make. All the feelings, all the failures, we fight to rise above. If the choice is mine to make, I choose love. Too many hearts all searching for someone. Souls so hungry and helpless, believing there's no one there to light the way in the darkness, like a white wings of a dove. If the wings are mine to give, I give love. It's too easy being cynical. It's not enough to just survive. The heroes are the ones who hope and keep the life, the dream of other people breathing together, sharing one time and space, searching the eyes of each passing stranger and finding the same sweet grace. It's a simple The choice is love or fear. I choose love. I love this thought stuff. So I had the thought. I chose the thought. Song goes well. And I held it. And I felt myself go, blah, 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 blah. And I felt my mind go, no, it doesn't. And I just held the thought. And I sat down and I forgot to put in my little earpiece, which makes me hear myself better. And then I missed a bunch of chords on the second passage. And then I realized I didn't have my earpiece. And I realized I was thinking, oh my God, I missed something. It's terrible. And for me, at least, the song went well. Because that was the overriding thought. Now, love. What is love? I think of love as allowing everything to be just as it is. This church, why I love being at this church, it's just whereas we are. By the way, can we turn up the house lights a little bit so I can see people? Love. When they say God's love is not, oh, I love you, I'm God, you're so nice. It's that however you are, it's okay, and that's what this church is. We're just here. It doesn't matter. We're having problems with whatever. We are here. And love is that looking at things, looking at people, looking at our internal experience, and allowing every part of it to be just as it is. Years ago, I did my show, Listen to My Heart, my off-Broadway show. I took it to Tampa. And we had a home in Tampa, and I loved Tampa. And it was my favorite production. And I got great reviews. But one critic, a sort of intellectual playwright kind, he said, you know, everything was so positive and soppy. Where's the real life? Where's the sweaty armpits? Where's the guts and gore? David Friedman seems to think the most important thing in life is love. And it was painful to me, and I went to do my show that night. It's always fun doing a show right after reviews. And the audience was filled with groups from Unity of Tampa, Unity of St. Pete, and Unity of Clearwater. And they cried, and they screamed, and they stood, and I thought, as long as there are people in the world who don't get that love is the most important thing, I have to keep doing this, even if I don't get great reviews. So the thing is, in terms of our meditation, did you notice that the moment you took on the thought, funny feelings started to happen? Thoughts started to come in. No, that's not so. That's not, as you said, that Lisa, that when you took on the thought, I'm healthy, I am well, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have all these other thoughts. It's just, they're part of it. Doubt is part of it. Jesus said, why hast thou forsaken me? Pema Chodron, who's probably one of the greatest, a Buddhist nun, one of the greatest meditators, said, my meditation is just as messy as yours. I go all over the place. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm thinking about. But I just do it. So the subject at hand, in unity, we say the basic premise is, thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind. So we know that that is the premise. And today's talk is on how to do that. And it's called Thought Exchange, A Way of Life. How to move around all the things and include them in holding a thought. So I found two quotes. Someone suggested I stop concentrating on changing myself and think first about accepting myself. That gave me the boost I needed. That's from Alateen, the Al-Anon for teenagers. And then I love this Buddhist quote, becoming interferes with being. So We're always thinking, oh, I have that thought and I should be more positive and why am I thinking this and why I'm doing that? And we're running from something. We're running from ourselves. We're trying to get away from something instead of looking at it with love. What is this? What's going on in me? How is this part of the process? So, as many of you know, Unity was founded by Myrtle Fillmore in the 1800s because she got a terminal diagnosis of tuberculosis. They said, you got 4 months to live, you know, get your affairs in order. And she didn't believe that. And she looked and she worked, instead of working in the circumstances, she worked in her thoughts. Now, we call thought cause. Our thoughts are what we see in the world. We see ourselves reflected in them. So what she did, she looked at her body and apologized to it once for thinking of it as sick, for thinking of it as weak. Only once, because I'm so sorry, I'm so guilty, I'm so whatever, just apologized. And then every day, every moment she could think of it, she saw her body as well. Now, you're holding this thought and you're looking at a body that seems to have somewhere else to go, or it seems to be another place. So we hold the thought and we say, oh, well, that's not true. You know, but that's not the point. The point is that that thought is infusing the nervous system and the body. And it took her 2 years to heal, and then she lived 46 more years in perfect health. And so we're talking about, it's sort of like a dog, a young dog. You go, sit. Doesn't sit. 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 The dog isn't sitting, but we don't go sit. Oh, forget it. You're not sitting. The reality is not that the dog doesn't sit. The reality is that the dog needs to get the signal, and we have to give this. And if we think about, I said to someone in Thought Exchange the other day, can we maybe move from giving ourselves negative thoughts 99.9% of the time to 98% of the time? When we think about how we worry, how we hold on, how we say, oh my God, what if that happens? And we're afraid to give ourselves just the thought, the pure thought, without knowing how. That's not our business. It goes through unconsciously. And so, to start to understand that when I take on that thought, of course, there's something in me that goes, yeah, but 50 years ago, you were hurt when you take on that thought. And it's going to tell you that. And it's always going to tell you that. You're never going to get rid of that. And that is part of it. So when I write a song, I always say this. If you ask me to write a song, my first thought is, I can't write a song. Always. Always. I used to go, oh my God, what am I going to do? Now I go, there's a thought, sit down. One of my favorite things, Sean, he's incredibly bitter about this, but early on, no was his first response. And it was his first response because he was afraid he would have to do things he didn't want to do if he said yes. And so after a while, like we're sitting in a restaurant, he says, I can't decide between the veal and the pasta. And I'd say, why don't we get both of them and split them? And he'd go, no. And I go, okay, we got the no. Okay. and so he began to notice it's his first response. And it still is, but he just hears it and goes to what he wants to do. So he'll say, hey, bring me a proposal, or show me what you want to do, or how do we get that done? The no is there. So this is the important thing to remember. It's like when people work with panic disorder, I say to them, the seemingly horrifying news is that you may always feel this way. You may always be anxious in this way. What's going to change is your relationship to that anxiety. It's like when you get a new cat and they look at you and they run under the bed. And then they stay there and they come out and then they run under. And at a certain point, after a few weeks, they run under and then they go, oh, wait, I don't have to run under. And they come back. So in Thought Exchange, I love this story. Where am I? We have somebody who would constantly say, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And that was her, what we call a protective thought, in order to not say she knows, because saying she knows was dangerous in her childhood. And so one day I said to her, what happens if you just take on the thought, I know? And it's like Diane says, don't aspire to, I'm going to know someday, I'm going to get there, but take on, I know. And then you'll find out. It's like I had a friend who said to me, I don't know why I drink so much. I said, you want to find out why you drink so much? She said, yes. I said, stop drinking. You'll find out immediately. So when she took on, I know, she got this terrified feeling. But she lit up. And she started doing things that she was unable to do with an I don't know. And so I said, so take on, I know. And then a few weeks later, she was talking, and she said, well, I don't know. And I said, what? And she said, oh, I mean, I know. And I said, here's the point. You don't have to get to the point where you never think, I don't know. You're always going to think it. It's just, how quickly can you exchange the thought? And you're going to do that 1,000 times a day. So that's why I say thought exchange is a way of life. It's not, I did the thought exchange, and now that I know, I'm totally positive, everything is whatever. It's a way of being that we will do for the rest of our lives. And it's something, it's a practice. It's coming from thought, seeing all the things that come out, and then going back to. So she did that, and she listened to me and went back. And then this past week, she was talking, and she said, well, I don't know, I know. It was that fast. It was. She still had the I don't know, but she immediately went, I know. And so for us to work in thought and allow ourselves to include everything that goes on when we hold the thought. We're looking at the reality as opposed to trying to overcome something. So about 20 years ago, I was at Unity of New York, and this question of, you know, I heard positive thoughts, hold the thoughts. And I was asked to take over the artist support circle in Unity of New York. There was a group of artists who got together to support each other, and the leader left, and I said, okay, I'm going to, they asked me, you're a successful artist, would you take it over? So I went in to see what I was doing, what they were doing, and they were doing affirmations, saying, I am a wealthy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they were just saying it as though someone would give it to them, and they were trying to push out the negative, and it wasn't working. So I said, okay, we know we're supposed to hold positive thoughts. Why is it so difficult for us to do it? And I realized we came up with thought exchange, which is that when you take on a thought that has had trauma associated with it in the past, you feel uncomfortable. You get scared or shaky or anxious. You get a sensation that is meaningless today, but had great meaning then. And so you jump to a protective thought. You jump to a thought of, I can't do it. I can't have it, etc. And so, and we will do that. We will take the thought on, have the sensation, go to the protective thought. That's all going to happen. But if we live in the protective thought, then we get the outcome we don't want. But if we keep saying, let me go back to my thought and get used to feeling the discomfort, it is, I'm sure you'll agree, it is uncomfortable to get up here and talk. It's really, you know, and terrifying for crazy reasons. Like someone could say, oh, David, look, these people, you know, who's going to hurt you? My little infant self does not know that. And it's screaming, watch out, and I don't even know why. So if I want to talk, I have to be with the discomfort and hold the thought and not wait for it to go away. So what happens is we're working in thought. We're working from thought. Not from circumstances, not from the terrified place, from thought. And so when you do this, circumstances do not have to change. And one of my favorite stories, I was contemplating going to Al-Anon years ago, and I was on the road, and I was in Tulsa, and two friends who were in Al-Anon brought this woman who was in Al-Anon to dinner to talk to me. And she was about 75, and she said, "Oh, honey, I've been in Al-Anon for 50 years, and when I started, my husband was such a drunk, and I was so angry all the time, and so miserable, and so unhappy, and now I'm so happy and so centered, and I love my life." And I said, "Are you still married?" She said, "Oh, yes." I said, "Does your husband still drink?" She said, "Oh, yes." So it had nothing to do with changing the circumstances. It had to do with her thought of happiness, her thought that I am centered, I am happy, I have my own life. You can't wait for that to change, because if you're watching that, your thought is actually in that. You know, when you conduct an orchestra, I recently found a book I wrote years ago. I never quite finished it. And it was called, "The Orchestra is Always Playing What You're Showing Them." And when I worked for Disney, it was a great gift. When I conducted, they filmed me so that they could have my conducting for later. And when they played the orchestra back, they played me back. And I'd watch and go, "They're late, you're late. They don't know when to come in. You don't know when to come in. They're shaky. You're shaky." And so I'd never say to the orchestra, "Do this. Watch me better." I'd say, "Let me try and show you." I once had my first violinist said, "Dave, could you clarify what you want in bar 100? And I said, "You mean the bar where I conducted so unintelligibly that you have no idea what I want? Let me see if I can show you better." And so if we start to pull things in to our side of the equation and work in our lives in terms of the thought we're holding and work in pure thought, we don't have to know how, why, where. Someone else in Thought Exchange was talking about, he's in certain issues that he has to get out of, he has to do certain things, and he said, I have to learn to be a grown-up. And I said, "Okay, how about take on the thought, I am a grown-up." And that went blah, blah, blah. But then he realized a grown-up doesn't not feel anything when they do things. A grown-up goes, "Oh my God, this is terrifying, and I'm going to do it." A grown-up goes, "This is a mess." A grown-up goes, "When I confront them, I'm shaking in my boots," but they have the ability to do it. So the thought, just the thought, "I am a grown-up," caused a million different actions. Just the thought. So in Unity, this is the great experiment. Can we say, "I'm just going to work in thought. And when I move to do something, do it. And the minute I get confused or upset or something goes wrong, back to the thought. Hold the thought." So we need to be able to look at this is a way of life, and we need to accept what is, not get away from anything, not overcome anything, not reach some form of perfection. As Diane said, Diane did my talk for me. I mean, I didn't even have to get up here. But so this is one of my favorite stories of acceptance. I have a friend who I've known for years, and he's at the age of 60, he met his first serious relationship. He met this man from London, an Indian man from London. And I met the boyfriend at a wedding we were at. And I was talking to him, and he was the most dear, delightful, sweet person. And I asked him, I couldn't imagine he hadn't been in a relationship. And I said, "Have you been in a relationship before?" He said, "Yes, I was in a 27-year relationship." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, I was making dinner one day, and my boyfriend called and said, 'Hi, be home in 20 minutes. I said, "Great." And a half hour later, the police knocked on the door and said, "He's been killed in a car accident," just like that. And I said, "What did you do?" And he said, "Of course, I was devastated, freaked out, and I went to a trauma therapist who tried to get me over the trauma. Tried to say, 'Well, think this and that.' He said, didn't work. Then he went to a Buddhist therapist. And the Buddhist therapist said, yes, he was killed instantly. That's what happened. This is the way it feels. This is what's in your body. This is how you think. It all is just the way it is. And he said, it's 7 years later, and I don't feel any better about what happened, and yet I am able to love my current boyfriend fully. Because I can have this pain, not get rid of it, overcome it. It's part of life, and so life has all this stuff in it, and it's going to, and holding a positive thought. I know when I started Thought Exchange, I thought, oh, I'm going to get to the point where I'm above all this and where everything is positive and I never think negative and everything works out and I'm going to have all the money I want. And, you know, last week my song, Millions of Dollars, I thought, I'm just going to think and I'm going to have millions of dollars and it's going to be fabulous. It doesn't work that way. Life happens. It's our relationship to life. Like Sean as a minister will tell you, he has as many problems as anybody. He's just talking about how we work with them where we are inside. Not so we start to accept that life is as it is, and we can hold a thought, and we can have joy and happiness and whatever and stuff, whatever we want, if we hold the thought. Now, there is a writer named Neville Goddard, and he has, it's called 10 Audiobooks by Neville Goddard. It's one thing on Amazon. And Neville Goddard, it's this old-time person who talks like this. He's an old-time New Thought person. And he says, think the thought. Hold the thought in mind. Nothing else. Feel what it feels like to have that. And just hold it. All the rest. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Everything in between that, I push the electric switch. And the lights go on. Everything between that, I have no idea what that is. So I'm saying, as a community, let's experiment with working in pure thought. Pure thought. And see what happens. And anytime we get scared physically, or we exchange the thought, don't entertain it. Notice it, say hello. It's like the song, Good Morning Heartache. Remember that song? And it goes, good morning heartache, you old gloomy sight. Good morning heartache, thought we said goodbye last night. And then the end says, guess I'll have to get used to you hanging around. Good morning heartache, sit down. Just every morning at the table, join me. Here you are, hello, and now me and my Alan Menken, one of the most successful people I know, said, every morning I take my big bag of crap, I throw it over my shoulder, and I proceed. With the big bag of crap. So let's see if we can practice the principle of thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind, without any help, without any itching. Because you see, the story I was telling about conducting, I notice that if I'm worried about something, it's in my conducting. So if I want you to go faster, and I think you won't, I go, I want you to go, and I actually go slower, and then I'm wondering why you didn't go faster. Because my thought is playing. It is the thought that plays, not any of the stuff, not any of the minutia. So again, I've said this 20 times, I exhort us all, let's do an experiment and just see. I'm just going to say it's done with no evidence, with no anything. And I'm going to be with whatever comes with that, whatever sensations and whatever protective thoughts. Now, this afternoon, I'm going to do a thought exchange workshop at 12:30, and we're going to practice how to do that. You're going to take a thought on, notice what comes with it, and leave knowing I can take this thought on and have what comes with it, and I'm just going to go back to the thought and work in pure thought. Okay? So let's do that. And I have a song that, you know, I always say songs write me. So I get information. Do I listen to it? Not always. But this song wrote me over 40 years ago. And it's a song about how all you do is hold something in mind and watch it appear in ways you don't know. So I'll sing that song for you, and then hopefully I'll see you at 12:30 in the Thought Exchange. Thank you. When I first met you, I knew that you were the one for me. I didn't know how to tell you, but I knew how it would be. We'd live in a house on a hill and spend our days making love. I didn't know how we'd get there. All I knew was what I was dreaming of. And so the days went by, and still I didn't say a word, waiting for you to hear the music I'd already heard. I didn't know just what to do to try and win your love, so I didn't do anything. I just held on tight to what I was dreaming of. And then one summer day, no different from the rest, I was walking east and you were walking west, and we just chanced to meet and sat down for a rest. And then your eyes met mine, and oh my heart, there it was. Live here in this house upon a hill, and we spend days like this just making love as lovers will. And when I look into your eyes and see